Chapter 15. The box of normal worked for Elliot, too. He tried it that afternoon at his house, with Nori looking on. He lit a candle. He lit two candles. He lit three. "Elliot," Nori said, "three candles and no freezing. That was awesome." Elliot was clearly pleased. He blew the candles out with a poof of air. He roasted a marshmallow perfectly, too. "Mmm," said Nori, taking a bite. "Delicious. Do you want some?" He shook his head. "I don't like marshmallows." "Really? What's not to love?" Nori popped the rest of it in her mouth. Elliot shrugged. "I'm more into ice cream." "Go ahead and laugh, a freezer who likes ice cream, huh? I've heard it before."
"I wasn't going to laugh."
"Lacey thinks it's hilarious."
"Oh, come on, everybody likes ice cream. That's why it's great to be a freezer. Maybe one day you'll be able to make it with just your hands."
Elliot shook his head. "No, I won't, remember? If the box of normal keeps working, I won't freeze anything ever again."
Nori was silent for a minute. What Elliot had just said seemed kind of sad. But then again, he didn't want to be a freezer. He wanted to be a flare. "No problem," she told him brightly. "Who needs to make ice cream? You can always buy it at the store." The next week, they practiced every chance they got, day after day. Nori became a puppy. The puppy did not sprout squid legs. Nori became a skunk. The skunk did not grow an elephant trunk. Elliot cooked eggs and marshmallows. Sometimes they were burnt or undercooked, but never ever did they freeze. Andres was the second person to notice something was up, or at least the second person to say something out loud about it. It happened Wednesday morning. They were doing a trust activity. First, everyone had to choose a partner. Nori chose Elliot. Then, Ms. Starr gave each pair of students a large mixing bowl full of whipped cream. Hidden within the cream, she explained, were cherries. The same number in each bowl. More than 5, fewer than 25. "The team who finds the most cherries wins," Ms. Starr said. Her eyes danced. "But there's a catch."
"Of course there is,"
Bax grumbled. He'd been paired with Andres for a partner, which required him to grab Andres's leash and haul him down from the ceiling, hand over hand. Then he handed Andres the bag of bricks. Even so, Andres still floated a foot off the floor, like a boy-shaped balloon.
"What's the catch?" Willa asked.
Her partner was Pepper, and Nori noticed that they were wearing striped shirts. These days, they often coordinated clothes.
"The catch is that you have to find the cherries using only your mouths,"
Ms. Starr bounced on her toes. "Just your mouths, not your hands." Everyone looked at her.
What about germs?" Marigold said.
"No one's sick, are they?" Ms. Starr asked.
She barreled on.
"Great, then." "I am going to have problems with this," Sebastian said. "The sound waves of slurping are absurdly bright. I will need sunglasses."
"You can close your eyes," said Ms. Starr.
"How does this exercise build trust?" Elliot asked.
"You get whipped cream all over your faces," the teacher answered. "It's going to be hilarious. You'll laugh with each other, not at each other, which builds community.
But it's also an exercise meant to stretch your brains. This is not the typical way to find cherries. It'll develop your natural instincts."
"Is there a typical way to find cherries?" Elliot asked.
"Yeah, it's called the grocery store," Willa said.
"My natural instinct is to not stick my face into a bowl of whipped cream," Bax said.
Ms. Starr ignored him. She raised her chin and said,
"Ready, set, go!"
Sebastian dove into the whipped cream. He emerged with a fluffy white beard, thick white eyebrows, and closed eyes. He licked the whipped cream off his mouth.
"Yummy! Have I got any on my face?"
Marigold had put her face into a bowl, too.
"I did it!" she cried.
She had wide, round eyes within peaks of white. She moved her mouth around and spit a red cherry into her hand.
"Yay me!"
It was fun. Everyone began bobbing in and out of the bowls. Willie used the whipped cream to spike up her bangs.
Pepper dipped only her nose into the whipped cream. Then she lifted her head with what looked like a glob of white snot.
Kleenex, she deadpanned.
Andres choked on a cherry, and Bax hit him on the back, causing a blob of cream to splatter all over Bax's shirt. Everyone laughed, even Bax.
Nori sat back. She soaked in the chaos and grinned. It was undeniably fun. Then she remembered. Fun wouldn't get her and Elliot out of the UDM class and into regular classes. They needed to use this time to focus on the box of normal. Nori fished around in the bowl of cream with her hand and pulled out a cherry, which she cleaned off with her shirt. She held the cherry out to Elliot.
Light the stem on fire.
Elliot lifted his eyebrows.
I can try, I guess.
He glanced around.
But there's a lot going on.
That's the point, Nori said. You know, in the book, you have to be able to ignore distraction.
Elliot concentrated. Poof, the cherry stem burst into flame.
Nice, Nori said,
quickly dropping the cherry back into the wet bowl of cream. She pulled out a new cherry with her hand.
This time, light just the tip, like a candle.
Elliot squinted, and a tiny flame flared on the tippity tip of the stem.
Elliot, yes, Nori cried.
Hey, Andres accused. No fair.
He set down his bag of bricks and drifted up to the ceiling, and his voice boomed louder.
Nori's using her hands to get the cherries out, and Elliot's lighting them on fire.
Everyone stopped what they were doing. Their whipped cream-covered faces swiveled in Nori and Elliot's direction.
You're doing your magic the right way, Willa said in a funny voice. How'd you learn to light things on fire instead of freezing them?
Nori gulped. She sensed Elliot stiffening beside her.
Nori and Elliot? Ms. Starr said quietly. I would appreciate if you could focus on my exercise while you're in my classroom.
What does she mean? Willa asked. What other classroom would you be in?
Nori couldn't tell everyone what she and Elliot were doing. She couldn't say to their faces that she wanted out of their class.
It was the germs, she exclaimed. Like Marigold said earlier.
Marigold looked confused.
I got grossed out, Nori insisted. That's why Elliot lit the cherry on fire. Because I'm afraid of germs.
She wasn't a fan of germs, but after growing up in a house with 12 rabbits and a toucan, she wasn't actually afraid of them. Not as afraid as she was about staying here in the upside-down magic class. Pepper cleared her throat.
People have trouble following rules when they get scared. I'm afraid of snakes, she offered.
Nori shot her a grateful look.
I'm afraid of worms, Willa said. And they come out when it rains.
Huh, so this is turning out to be a trust exercise of a different kind, Ms. Starr said. She clasped her hands. In fact, this is a teachable moment. Everyone groaned.
Let's each share something we're scared of,
Ms. Starr said, passing out individually wrapped wipes.
Nori's scared of germs. Pepper's scared of worms.
Snakes,
Pepper corrected.
I'm worms, Willa said.
And I'm scared of heights, Ms. Starr finished. It's silly, I know, but there it is.
Andres, what are you scared of?
Wide open spaces, he said.
Everyone nodded, and just like that, the others jumped in. Elliot was scared of clowns. Sebastian was afraid of thunderstorms and rock concerts. Marigold was scared of having foods touch each other on her plate.
I absolutely detest gravy, she said with a shiver. Gravy creeps me out because it mushes everything together.
Yes, I suppose it does, Ms. Starr said. She turned to Bax, the only student who hadn't gone.
Bax, would you like to share?
No, thanks, Bax said.
Would you share anyway, please?
Bax glowered at Nori, as if this new trust exercise was all her fault. No one spoke. The silence grew uncomfortable. Finally, Bax mumbled something that Nori couldn't make out.
I'm sorry, what? Ms. Starr said.
Slytherins,
Bax said, staring at the carpet.
One more time?
Bax exhaled.
Sledgehammers, all right?
Sledgehammers? Willa said. Why?
I get it, Elliot said. Because of the rock thing.
Oh, the other said. It's a stupid thing to be afraid of, Bax muttered. No, it's not, Elliot said. I wouldn't want a sledgehammer hitting me. I wouldn't even want a very small hammer hitting me.
He said it so earnestly that everyone laughed.
I'm not kidding, he insisted. Hammers of all kinds are serious.
Bax didn't smile at Elliot, but he didn't scowl either. Nori felt a rush of affection for Elliot, who was kind to people on purpose. She felt a rush of affection for Bax, too. It surprised her.
But I still want out, she told herself. Anyway, being moved to a regular class doesn't mean I can't be friends with the UDM kids.
Bax gave Elliot an awkward fist bump. Nori looked away. When everyone went around sharing their fears, she was the only one who hadn't told the truth. Finally, it was Friday, the day of the test. Nori and Elliot arrived early to school. A woman wearing a narrow skirt and holding a clipboard waited for them outside the gymnasium.
Elliot Cohen? She asked.
Yes, Elliot squeaked.
Go on then, the woman said, pushing open the door to the gym.
Good luck. You'll be great. Toast it to perfection, Nori called.
Elliot looked back at Nori. His eyes were wide. The woman with the clipboard followed behind, and the door swung shut. Nori paced. She tried to crack her knuckles. She did jumping jacks to help get her anxiety out. It felt like forever. Finally, Elliot burst through the gymnasium doors, beaming from ear to ear.
Perfect marshmallow, he shouted. Principal Gonzalez even ate it. He popped it right into his mouth and said it was the best marshmallow he'd had all day. I mean, I know it was the only marshmallow he'd had all day, but who cares?
Nori jumped up and down.
Zamboozle, I am so proud of you.
The woman with the clipboard cleared her throat.
Eleanor Horace?
She let Nori into the gym.
You're going to ace it, Elliot called out after her. Box of normal for the win!
The door shut solidly behind her. She flinched. The gym didn't have as much of an echo when she came in with the rest of her class. It was the same room with the scarred wooden floor she'd been in many times before, but it felt different now. Bigger. Scarier. Principal Gonzalez was nowhere in sight, but Nori wasn't surprised. Elliot had told her on the first day that the principal was invisible.
Come in, come in, a voice boomed.
Nori turned toward the sound, and now there was a man sitting in the middle row of the rickety gym bleachers. A tall man with a big, silly mustache, tan skin, no hair, and a three-piece velvet suit. Then he was gone. Then he was there. Then he settled into being halfway visible and a pale shade of blue, which Nori knew was quite a difficult flicker trick.
So, you're Stone Horace's daughter, the man said. We went to Sage Academy together, did you know that? Went through all our flicker studies side by side.
You're friends with Father?
No, he said with a sigh. Not friends, competitors, you might say. And we have very different educational ideals, but he's a smart, smart man.
For a second, the principal seemed lost in thought. Then he pulled himself back.
You go by Nori?
Nori nodded. He stood and extended his hand.
Principal Gonzalez, very pleased to meet you.
Pleased to meet you too, Nori said, shaking his hand. It was solid, even though he looked only partly there.
I am quite excited about this year's upside-down magic class, the principal continued. I'm sorry to hear you want to leave. I don't know for sure that it's the best way to teach students with different magics, but I sure hope this will be a good solution. You know, teachers have been arguing about upside-down magic education for a long time. There are many different theories. Now, many UDM classes are starting up around the country. I have high hopes they'll make a positive change.
Miss Starr is a really good teacher, Nori said. It was true. Saying it made Nori realize it for sure.
But you still want to leave?
She nodded.
It's a pity, he said. But if it really matters to you, let's give you a chance.
The principal sat back down on the bleachers and slapped his hands on his thighs.
Let's see your kitten, shall we? All black, if you please.
Nori concentrated on her box of normal. She stayed within its safe walls and did her kitten.
She did it perfectly. She held still as Principal Gonzalez inspected her whiskers and teeth, tail and ear fluff. She meowed and followed instructions to jump up on a chair and roll over. The woman in the narrow skirt opened a can of tuna fish and set it on the floor. Nori didn't eat it. Then the woman changed into a mouse and ran in front of Nori. Nori's human mind stayed in control. She didn't chase the mouse. Then the woman changed into a butterfly and flew around her head. Nori didn't chase that either.
Fine work indeed, Principal Gonzalez said. You may return to human form now, please.
Nori popped from cat to girl.
All right then, Principal Gonzalez said. You've done very well, you and Elliot both.
Can we switch to the normal magic classes then? Nori asked.
There are other factors to think about, the principal said, but you should be very proud of yourselves.
He studied her, stroking his chin.
I'll have an answer for you by the end of the day.
Elliot waited outside the gym for Nori. The bell rang to start the day, and they ran all the way to class.
Never, never again, Elliot practically sang. Never again will I freeze a flower or turn a pizza into a disc of ice. My freezing days are over.
And no more skunk offense for me, Nori said. To her surprise, she felt a pang of loss. She pushed it away. Elliot stopped running. His cheeks were rosy.
Nori, we're normal.
Nori nodded. As long as we stay in our boxes.